Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
It's over.
Game over, man.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Jack Heinrich.
Tough one for the Hawks tonight. Played a good first period, gave up a late goal to Sidney Crosby on the power play, and then honestly just kind of unraveled from there. 5-0 loss to the Penguins. We'll head back out to the PPG Paints Arena and bring in Charlie Meliotis, who was on the call with John Weideman. And Charlie, yeah, it just seemed like they played pretty well in that first period, and then they gave up that power play goal to Sidney Crosby, and just not a lot went right after that.
Yeah, by the way, PPG Paints Arena doesn't exactly flow off the tongue. I've been getting tripped up on
every time I've said it, I've had to think about what I was saying.
I miss Mellon Arena. That was very easy. Or the Igloo. This was a tough one for the Blackhawks. I thought they played a decent road first period, but things certainly started to tilt in Pittsburgh's favor in the second. I guess it probably started with that power play goal by Sidney Crosby, his 31st of the season. Again, I just didn't see a penalty there on Kevin Korchinski. I don't know if that was a hooking call, but it is what it is. And unfortunately for Chicago, they weren't able to kill that off. They score 6 seconds into the power play, and it was all Penguins from the second period and on.
Yeah, it just seemed kind of like one of those games where, not that it, I mean, they didn't play well enough, but like some of those calls just did not go their way. And then, like, unfortunately, Connor Murphy hits one over the boards for a delay game. Spencer Knight had one hit him right in the mask and trickle in. Another one hit his glove and trickle in. It just kind of seemed like one of those days where, and quite frankly, one of these years that hasn't really broken their way.
Yeah, I also thought the puck management for the Blackhawks wasn't great in this game. I'm looking at the stat sheet, and they were hit with 32 giveaways, the Blackhawks. I'm not sure if that is a season high. Tyler Bertuzzi, I guess, had 7 of them. Just take that for what it's worth. I know some of the stats have been a little weird this season, but I think that was indicative of some of the poor zone exits that the Blackhawks had in this game. And that was something that Anders Sorensen was talking about before the game to Darren Pang, saying he didn't like the zone exits and how they were breaking out of their own end in the last game against Pittsburgh, and it was an area that he wanted the Blackhawks to clean up going into this game. And unfortunately, it didn't seem like the Blackhawks made progress in that area, and the puck management was certainly an issue for Chicago in this game.
Yeah, a bunch of giveaways, and I think some of those long shifts kind of turned into or contributed to that, because one, it says Spencer Knight has 4 of them on here.
I just noticed that. 4 but, giveaways by Spencer Knight.
Yeah, right. But one of them, I think they were trying to do a breakout, and he passed it to the middle of the ice, and nobody went for it. So maybe that just a little something there with the long shifts. I'm looking here now. Joe Valeno had 4 shots on goal. Did you notice anything from him tonight? It seems like he's fitting in a little bit as he's gotten accustomed to being on the Hawks.
Yeah, he's slowly starting to find his role with the Blackhawks. I know he was in and out of the lineup in Detroit and bouncing around from the fourth line to the third line to in and out of the lineup, and that's kind of where he's been with the Blackhawks, but it's been nice to see him provide some sort of depth. I know he dropped down to the fourth line, but as he starts to grow into his own and try to make an impression on this team, you know, I thought he had a decent game. I thought Connor Bedard had a fine game too. I know he finished with 7 shot attempts, 3 of them on net. Came close on some of those opportunities, but unfortunately wasn't able to finish. But looking at Pittsburgh, it was their horses that led the way in this game. And sometimes you just got to tip your cap, because when Sidney Crosby and Erik Karlsson and Chris Letang, when they're on their game, which they haven't been on their game, at least Karlsson, Letang specifically, haven't been on their A game for the majority of the season. Crosby has. I mean, he's been unbelievable for the Penguins this season. Honestly, turning in like a Hart Trophy type season if Pittsburgh was a little bit higher in the standings. But it was Pittsburgh that was getting the contributions from their big horses.
Yeah, and that game on Sunday, I mean, the Hawks did a good job shutting those horses down, really. That helped lead them.
Yeah, Crosby, I think, was a -3 on Sunday. Mm-hmm. and was going into that game with it on a 12-game point streak, which I think is like the long or tied for the longest point streak in NHL history by a player that's 37 years or older. So, I mean, impressive for the Blackhawks to prevent that from happening, but you can't keep Sid down for too long, and he was able to find the back of the net in this game.
What do you think of some of the young defensemen for the Hawks today? I think I saw that Levchinov had about 6 shot attempts, and Renzel, I mean, he just keeps shooting the puck and wanting the puck.
Yeah, Levchinov, I thought he had a decent game. There was that on the Kevin Hayes, the fourth mm-hmm. goal, he pinched in on the neutral zone, and I think it was probably him. I know Levchinov has a tendency to be aggressive anyway, so maybe didn't matter what the score was. Levchinov probably was going to pinch there anyway because that's kind of his instincts. But outside of that, I did see he was aggressive in shooting the puck. He had a couple opportunities, missed the net, and unfortunately you want to see those start to hit the net. And man, he's been close to, I think he's hit 2 posts this season. Mm-hmm. So I feel like he's getting close to scoring his first goal as well. And then Sam Renzel, boy, it feels like every stat sheet that we look at, we're like, he's got 3 shots on goal, 7 shot attempts. And I thought he was noticeable in this game. I know in the first period, the Vlasic and Renzel pairing was, the scoring chances were 8-1 in favor of Chicago when the two of them were on the ice. So I thought he was really noticeable in that opening frame.
Yeah, and he looks like he led the Hawks in ice time, too. So at least they're letting these young guys play. And these kind of losses, 5-0, at least is some building blocks for young guys like Levchinov, Renzel, and Moore, and Slager, and all these young guys getting used. I guess kind of some of the growing pains in a rebuild.
For sure, yeah. And I've been really impressed with Sam Renzel, and I know the wins and losses haven't been there for some of these college guys, and even Levchinov ever since they have been brought over to the Blackhawks, but you hope that some of the glimpses that they are showing is going to translate over the long term. And again, I know, like when Kane and Taves stepped into this situation here in Chicago, they were stepping into a perfect situation with the infrastructure in place. Joel Quenneville they hire the next year, like everything was perfect for them. With some of these young guys, they have to kind of not get used to the complacency of this season, and you don't want the losing to creep into their psyches where they're coming to the rink with a negative attitude. You want them to come in with a positive attitude, and so we'll see how that carries over. But a tough one for the Blackhawks.
Okay, so moving on to Boston. I mean, this is like a new look Boston team after the trade. Last time the Hawks saw them was in December, so this is like a new look team. What are you looking for from them, just kind of flushing this one and moving on?
Yeah, for Boston is kind of where I want to go, because I think I saw someone that I have to double check this as I'm doing this in real time. I'm almost positive they were like dead last in the Eastern Conference, which is crazy to think about. Yeah, so it's Philly 71 points, Boston 73 points, but Philly has 2 games in hand. So it's crazy how far Boston has fallen, or how quickly they have fallen. Obviously, they sold Brad Marchand and Brandon Carlo to Toronto, so they sold off their pieces at the trade deadline. But this is where I think if you're the Blackhawks, you're seeing some of these opponents on the schedule, facing Pittsburgh in back-to-back games. They're going to get Boston on Thursday night. I know Winnipeg is kind of an outlier, but who knows what they will be playing for. And then you have Montreal and Ottawa, who are kind of fighting for Eastern Conference playoff seeds. The Hawks have had, I wish they would have turned in a better effort in this game, or it was a better result in this game, because they're playing opponents that are more towards where they are in the standings. And so it's unfortunate that they got shut out, because it's when you lose to if Colorado was in town and this was a 5-0 loss, you're like, I get it. Colorado, they got McKinnon, they got McCarr, they're just an elite hockey team. But with the Penguins not being able to find the back of the net, the Penguins went into this game having given up the most goals at even strength of any team in the NHL at 228. Hawks, ironically, are 31st. They're right behind at 226. But this is not a defensively stout defensive team, and I think that's what adds to the frustration of the Blackhawks not being able to find the back of the net in this game.
100%. Well, at least they get another crack at it on Thursday. Charlie, good job with John. You two did a great job. Let's hope we can get a win on Thursday in Boston.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm surprised Joe Brand did not come in here and try to finagle his way into this postgame show. But we're good.
All good. All right, Charlie, have a safe flight.
All right, thanks, Jack.
That's Charlie Romeliotis. Did a great job filling in for Troy Murray, and John Weideman always does a good job. They got to go catch a flight over to Boston, waiting to get some post-game sound from the Blackhawks dressing room. Yeah, just a tough one for the Hawks tonight. 5-0. They played very well in that first period. Like Charlie said, he thought the Hawks outplayed them in that first period for the majority of it, but then they get that penalty on Kevin Korchinski, the hooking call that could have gone either way. Unfortunately, it goes against the Hawks, and then Sidney Crosby is able to get the goal. He had 6 shots on goal, and the Hawks did a good job holding him in check on Sunday. And as Charlie said, snapping that 12-game point streak for him. But he gets right back on and scoring the first goal for the Penguins. And then moving through the second period, it seemed like the Hawks had a little bit of trouble trying to get pucks out of their own zone. They struggled with that. And just had a tough time. They had some long shifts that they were doing and having to deal with, and they just got buried in their own end. And then you can't, when you're on the long side in the second period, far away from the bench, the long change, it's tough when you can't get the puck out and you got tired guys out there, and then it leads to giveaways and mistakes. And then they gave up a few goals, and then the third period, just the Penguins got it going, getting 3 goals in that third period. A tough one for the Hawks. Looking over the stat sheet, like some of the highlights that me and Charlie noticed. I mean, not a lot when you get shut out. Only the second time, though, that they've been shut out, and Charlie mentioned that with John. Only the second time they've gotten shut out this year. I think he said about 12 or 13 times last year they got shut out. So at least a little bit of an improvement there for the Hawks in that regard, being a little more competitive. It's just they got to figure out how to close out games and get some offense going. That's been the struggle for them the past 2 years. We got more to get to here on the Blackhawks postgame show. Penguins beat the Hawks 5-0, getting some revenge on Sunday. I'm Jack Heinrich filling in for Charlie Romeliotis. You're listening to Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN. Back here on the Blackhawks postgame show, Jack Heinrich filling in for Charlie Romeliotis. Charlie filled in for Troy, with Troy taking these 2 games off on the road trip, and then he'll be back on Saturday, and then the last 2 games of the year. And a tough one for the Hawks, 5-0 loss. We'll go through the highlights of this game. And as I was saying earlier, a good first road period, really, for pretty much 19 and a half minutes, but they get that penalty on Kevin Korchinski, his second of the first period, and the Hawks played well, but then they give that penalty, and then when you have a great player like Sidney Crosby on the ice, he's able to find the back of that more times than not.
Faceoff circle to the right of Knight, and the draw comes out to the line. Grizzlick backing up through the high slot. Put it top of the left circle, Russ. Now to Crosby in front. Shoots and scores. Well, it's a power play goal. And the Penguins will take a 1-0 lead into the dressing rooms with 15 seconds left in period number one.
So that late goal, and that was something the Hawks struggled with early in the season, was they would play pretty decent periods, and then they'd give up a goal late in a period to go into the intermission, down a goal or getting a goal back, and then they get the opponent gets a goal to pull within one. But just tough there for the Hawks, and they did a good job keeping Crosby off the score sheet on Sunday, but he had 6 shots on goal in that goal there tonight to get the scoring going. So we move into the second period. The Hawks down only 1-0, but that late goal seemed to take a little bit of the wind out of the sails of the Hawks. And then they had just, with the long change, they had trouble getting pucks out of their zone and getting changes, had some tired hockey players on the net or on the ice, and it led to the second goal of the game for the Penguins.
Koivunen, left side boards, fed the slot for Crosby. This is knocked off his stick, but Rust recaptures the puck, right point to Koivunen, bottom of the circle to Carlson, bottom of the left circle, and he shoots and scores. And for Erik Karlsson, that is a milestone goal, his 200 in the National Hockey League. And he gives the Penguins a 2-0 lead.
Yeah, Carlson finding the back of the net, and like Charlie was saying, we were just talking about the big guns for the Penguins got it done in this one. But the Hawks were able to keep the Penguins off the scoreboard the rest of that second period, but still had trouble. Some long shifts for their players and some giveaways, and eventually ended up with some tired hockey players on the ice. But we move into the third period, and that's kind of where the scoring got out of hand. The Penguins were able to flex a little bit of muscle with their big guns, and they got a goal early in that third period from their defenseman, Chris Letang.
Letang, right point, to Malkin, to Letang, firing from the right circle, he scores. And I'm not exactly sure that Chris Letang knew that that puck had gone into the Hawk net. I think he felt it hit the post and the crossbar and skittered out. This goal at 4:28 of period number three makes the score 3-0 in favor of Pittsburgh.
And that was the one that looked like on the replay it hit the mask of Spencer Knight and redirected up into the corner of the net for Chris Letang. Just one of those days for the Hawks. Some breaks didn't go their way. I think they had two guys lose their skate blade and had to go to the bench. Tyler Bertuzzi and Philip Kurashev took pucks to the face. So just not a lot going right for the Hawks here in Pittsburgh. And then later on in that period, Kevin Hayes added more to the scoreboard here for the Penguins.
Kevin Hayes now leaving the puck on the far side. Head to center ice. Here's Hayes into the Hawk zone, firing a shot. He scores. Well, Hayes worked the puck to the left wing side of center ice where Ryan Graves was able to nudge it ahead. And then Hayes was the recipient of a pass in the high slot area and fired a shot. Knight stopped it with his glove momentarily, but the puck toppled over the top of him and rolled back into the Hawk net. 4-0 Pittsburgh.
Just adding to the list of things not going the Hawks' way. It looked like Spencer Knight tried to catch it in his glove, and he just got a tip of it, and then it just had enough to trickle in the back of the net. 4-0 for the Penguins, and then later on, Kevin Hayes got his second one of the day.
Right wing side to Achari, who clears to center ice, and Heinen's got it into the Hawks' zone. Heinen for the left circle, put it in front. Hayes, he scores! Kevin Hayes reaching out with the backhand part of his blade, deflects this pass past Spencer Knight. And Pittsburgh now enjoying a 5-0 lead with 1:47 on the clock.
And that was the final goal of the game for the Penguins. Yeah, tough one for the Hawks. 5-0 win for the Penguins to get a little revenge after the 3-1 Hawks win on Sunday. So it was interesting. These two teams did not play all year. And then two times in the last six games for the Hawks, they play the same team, and they split it with the Penguins, both teams winning on home ice. Looking over the stat sheets here for the Blackhawks, a little bit better in the faceoff circle for the Hawks, 44%. Some that stood out, Frank Nazar was 64% from the faceoff dot, and then another one, Teuvo Teravainen, was 67%, so a little bit better. Connor Bedard down to 38%. Hopefully he can keep working at that and getting better in the faceoff dot there for the Hawks. And we talked about Sam Renzel, who's been very, very strong in his first five NHL games, really living up to the prospect billing. This guy's stock has just skyrocketed over the last year, going to Minnesota. And when the Hawks drafted him a few years ago, they knew this was going to be a project for him. But he goes to college, and credit to that Minnesota staff, did a really good job developing him. And he looks like he might be one of the top defensive prospects in this system, and the Hawks have a whole line of them. And he's playing up there with Alex Vlasic on the top defensive pairing, and you look at Artem Levchinov playing on that second pairing. And then you have Kevin Korchinski, Wyatt Kaiser, Ethan Del Mastro, Louis Crevier, a lot of depth on that back end, and a lot of young guys too. Alex Vlasic is now the oldest defenseman on this Hawk are playing tonight in this for the Hawks, besides Connor Murphy. So Murphy and then Vlasic, the oldest defenseman for the Hawks. So bright future on the blue line, and gives the Hawks a lot of flexibility in the draft going forward. So hopefully when you're looking at games like this, 5-0, you're looking for bright spots, and Sam Renzel continues to be that bright spot for the Hawks moving forward. We're getting some sound from Pittsburgh. We'll check in on what the Blackhawks locker room had to say after this one. You're listening to Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN. Back here on the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN, Jack Heinrich filling in for Charlie Romeliotis. Tough one for the Hawks in Pittsburgh. Penguins get some revenge after a 3-1 loss on Sunday. The Penguins come back with a 5-0 win over the Blackhawks today. Tough one for the Hawks as they start a 2-game East Coast road trip on Thursday. They will be in Boston to face the Bruins. We got some post-game sound. Let's hear what Ryan Donato had to say after this one.
Ryan, what happened with this loss? I believe this is just the second time that you guys have been shut out.
I just didn't play good. I mean, there's not much. There wasn't a lot of good things tonight. I don't know where you could begin, but, you know, just playing simple, not good enough. I don't know.
What do you think changed from Sunday? What were the big areas that they got worse?
It's such a hard question to answer just because, you know, like, where do you begin? Like, I think tonight was, you know, it's a privilege to, you know, play in this league, and you just got to show up every night and, you know, give your A effort every night. It's too good of a league. You're playing against the best players in the world every night, no matter what. And, obviously there was some good things we saw in the game before against them, and, you know, you can't, you know, get too comfortable. And I don't think that's the case. I just think we, you know, all of us need to buy in and show up every game, not just, you know, every so often.
There was a lot more turnovers in this game. Was it more pressure from them or just, you know, a lack of effort?
I think we just, you know, just turn pucks over. You can't do it. It's just simple. Like, you just got to, you know, if you're getting pinched out at the blue line, you chip it in. Sometimes the best teams are the most simple. And, you know, that kind of was evident tonight. You know, they were getting a lot of odd man rushes. And I think a lot of guys in here, including myself, need to hold each other accountable and, you know, be better.
With so many young guys, is I guess the inconsistencies from Sunday to today, is some of that the realities too, or do you guys just have to be accountable regardless? Or?
But it's not just on them, right? Like, as veterans or guys that have been around long enough to know, you know, you got to bring them with you, right, and teach them right way. And, you know, there's some hard lessons in there, but, you know, it makes the team better. And, you know, I think everybody can look themselves in the mirror and find something that they didn't do great this game. And you got to, you know, continue to build. It's a hard league. Teams are so good that you can't just, you know, show up. And tonight it was evident.
Was this one of those meetings like you had to have a lot of yelling to get the point across, or was it a different type of tone?
No, I think we could have used more of it. It's not – the coaches can give us – they give us all the right messages. They could tell us everything to do, and it's about us going to execute that. They give us a good plan to go win the game, and we all have to buy into that and play the same way. I think, you know, it's on the veterans and some of the young guys just to, you know, make sure we're doing what we're told. You know, I think, like I said, some of the most simple teams are the best, and, you know, as a team that's young and inexperienced, the more simple you play, I think – you create more offense, you create all these different things. And I don't really know where to start with that.
Kind of started with an iffy call against Korchinski. What did you think of that hooking call?
Yeah, I can't really say. I saw one brief replay of it. It's the heat of the game. Sometimes calls aren't going to happen your way, but, you know, we got to battle back and, you know, move our feet to create penalties for us. You know what I mean? I think, we don't do that enough, and that's on the players. You know, we just got to, you know, move on. We killed off a lot of good power plays this year, and our penalty kill's done a great job, and it's just, I don't know. I didn't see the call, but for me, it's just, you know, we got to go and, you know, move on and be better.
Good answer there from Ryan Donato. And that's kind of what Charlie was talking about is, yeah, sometimes calls go against you, but you got to make some plays and make some things happen as well. So tough there for the Hawks. And, yeah, they did play very well on Sunday. And then you're kind of thinking, oh, maybe they can have a chance here to sweep the Penguins in this back-to-back set against them. But didn't play well enough. And it's kind of a lot of things that we've heard throughout the whole season is just trying to be consistent, and a lot of young guys, and they're learning how to win in the NHL and trying to get through it. And it's just been one of those seasons where a lot of things just don't seem to go your way as well for the Hawks. And with the way that the team is built right now, their margins are very thin. So a few things go their way, that results in some losses now, unfortunately. And that's what happens in a rebuild. Connor Murphy also met the media. Let's hear what the veteran defenseman had to say.
Seemed like that was a while. Did you guys have a meeting?
What's that?
Did you guys have a meeting after?
We did, yeah.
What was talked about at that?
I'd rather not say. Within the room, guys talk, so that's our thing.
What is the importance of having a meeting even this late in the season?
Just to address games that we sometimes guys feel like need to be addressed. Sometimes it's good to blow up some steam and not sit on it for days. So just how we played, how bad we played, and just things from the game.
With so many young guys in the room, what value, I guess these experiences, or what do you hope they kind of take from even these meetings or just games like this? Or
Hopefully learn like right from wrong. I think just the feeling and in each other and teammates and systems and work ethic and details of what it feels like and say a win the last game and not just a loss but the kind of loss tonight. So you hope to grow individually and as a team anytime you can be aware of that and then have better preparation for games you have coming up this year in your career to try to limit nights like tonight.
Can even just the act of having the meeting be good experience for them? I mean, for some of them, they may not have been here for many, if any.
It's good to hear guys talk and be a part of a locker room at any stage, I think, as a young guy, to know the dynamic and feel just that communication, I guess. So, it's hard.
From Sunday to today, where do you see the main differences?
It's just like bearing down, effort, caring, playing for the team, playing hard. Just all of us through the whole lineup was the difference tonight.
It seemed like the guys were kind of disconnected. Did that lead to a lot of the turnovers that you guys had?
Yeah, disconnected and forcing plays and then some of us, whether we're panicking and chopping the puck around or forwards forcing plays when we're not keeping it simple enough and going forward with it. So that's just an issue that we have, and it's just part of our game that ends up turning into us having big losses.
So that was Connor Murphy. Interesting to hear. Yeah, we had a little delay. Shout out to Ben Pope from the Chicago Sun-Times has been supplying us road audio all season for me and Charlie. Yeah, they had a little bit of a delay getting in the locker room, and it sounds like they did, in fact, have a team meeting this late in the season. Still trying to win and play the best that they can, but interesting to hear that they had one today and just wanted to address some things to try to come out better against Boston on Thursday. But yeah, it was a tough one for the Hawks. You thought this would be a good opportunity to try to string some wins together, which has been hard for this team this season, and looking for a little success on the road. Ben tweeted out during the game that the Hawks are 3-25 in their last 28 road games, so I think that makes it 3-26 in their last 29 road games. So it has been a struggle trying to figure out how to win on the road these past two seasons for the Hawks. So hopefully this meeting is productive and they can come out and play better in Boston on Thursday, another team that is down in the standings, like Charlie was saying after the game, down in the standings with the Hawks near the bottom, not going to make the playoffs, going to be in the draft lottery. So hopefully they could take advantage of this Boston team that really reshaped their whole roster at the trade deadline. They decided that they were not going to try to push for the playoffs and sold off some pieces, mainly Brad Marchand down to Florida. So this is going to be a completely different team that the Hawks are going in the TD Garden facing that they faced back in December. So hopefully they get over to Boston and get prepared for that game and try to get a win for the Hawks here on the road before they come home for the Saturday home finale on Saturday. Head coach Anders Sorensen, the interim head coach Anders Sorensen, met with the media. Let's hear what he had to say after this 5-0 loss to the Penguins.
What was your message to the team after the game?
They're closed door meeting. Yeah. Keep it in the room.
What do you hope they learn from this type of game?
Well, you see, you play a team, with experience, and they're willing to out-compete us. And that was really what it came down to, right? Especially in the second and third period. I thought the first period we did a lot of good things, and we get down 1-0, and then after that, we just stopped competing, stopped helping each other out.
Was there something that could have been done to kind of turn? turn the tide in the second period. Just seemed like there were shift after shift that was bad and just wasn't much to change that.
They came at us in waves and we tried different things, changed some lines, tried different things, but yeah.
It seemed like Sunday you guys were much more connected, but today, like, some of the passes to each other are a little off target. More turnovers, definitely. So, what do you think happened with that?
Well, I think that's the disappointing part, right? Because you go from Sunday, and even, again, the first period today I thought was fine, right? We were there, and for it to come unglued like that in the second and third, it's unacceptable, right? And a lot of it is, like, turnovers. A lot is turnovers. And it's out of our own zone. It's out of our offensive zone. Yeah. It's not good. It's mind-boggling. It can be like that 48 hours later.
What do you think, the value is, even this late in the season, for these guys to have a players-only meeting?
I think it's great.
Is there a message maybe the young guys, too, the accountability, or just, I'm sure that some of these guys are experiencing these type of things for the first time, too?
Yeah, it's a group thing, right? Yeah, it's a group thing. And I think it's easy to play when things go your way, right? But tonight, for two periods, was not good at all, right? But it's a group thing.
Is it just personally disappointing that, you feel like you've gotten guys to play at a certain level and it's almost like they kind of let you down with this one?
I don't think they let me down. They let themselves and their teammates down, right? I mean, I think that's the biggest part of it. We're a group here. It's not me or them, or it's a group thing, right? We let each other down today, and maybe I'll look at what I did wrong. Maybe I thought the first period was good, but then we just came apart there. I can't put my finger on it right now, but yeah, I'm part of it too.
Let's kind of start off with that the hooking call on Krejcinski. Did you agree with that call? Very iffy.
No, but... Yeah.
Did you say anything to the officials?
Yeah, I did, yeah. But they're not going to come talk to you if you want to yell at them, but I did talk to them between periods. Yeah.
So that was Anders Sorensen after the game. Yeah, there's a lot made a few games ago about how he goes about with the officials. So he was on them and, like, very honest in the media. They did not like that call. But fortunately, that broke the wrong way for the Hawks. He mentioned that he liked the team meeting by the Hawks, and hopefully that meeting can help the Hawks come out and play very well on Thursday in Boston, another opportunity to have a winnable game on the road and get some confidence for this team as they head into, I believe, only four games left now after tonight. So the season flying by here for the Hawks with only four games remaining. We'll get you set for the Hawks' next game in Boston.
There are a minute to go now here in the second period. Puck brought along by Mittelstadt, throws one toward the net and scores! It got tipped on its way through and bounced past Markstrom, and the Bruins get a good hop and lead it 4-2.
That is tonight's next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Credit to Ryan Johnston of the Bruins Radio Network. For the Bruins, the Hawks' next opponent on the schedule. They had a big win today in New Jersey. 7-2 was the final over there in New Jersey. So the Bruins had a very good showing right before they welcomed the Hawks in to Boston. Yeah, as I was mentioning earlier, the Hawks lost 4-2 way back on December 4th. Brad Marchand had two goals in that game, but now he is no longer on the Bruins, a new look Bruins team. Charlie Coyle traded over to Colorado. So a lot of new faces on the team for the Bruins as the Hawks will try to get back on track. Vlasic and Dickinson had the goals back in December, but the Hawks looking to get back on track on Thursday when they visit the Bruins. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circus Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Sitco. When you start with Sitco, you're good to go. Big thanks to everyone involved in our broadcast tonight, our great engineer of Krista Flores, and then Alan Poppy flying solo tonight, doing a great job. Charlie Romeliotis filled in for Troy Murray on the call with the great John Weideman. We got Blackhawks Live tomorrow. Joe Brand joins the show. Charlie and I will talk to you at 7. Blackhawks lose to the Penguins 5-0. I've been Jack Heinrich filling in for Charlie Romeliotis on Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN.